Welcome to Casual Fridays. To me, Jerry Davich, Karen Walker, and Tom Maloney again this week. On today's annual Super Bowl-sized show, we will explore the political power of those multi-million dollar TV commercials with local advertising expert Martin Alexi, owner of Flying Minds LLC. It's always been an ad world, but this year, in light of our current political climate, Martin will reveal a new twist, American Brand Stand. That's right, new and improved and political commercials. Just like the primaries through Election Day, President Trump has cornered the headlines, and Martin feels the same applies for the Super Bowl this year. We'll talk all about it. Later in the show, we'll talk with the Reverend Tom Shanahan, who over the past 15 years has officiated nearly 300 eulogies at funeral services across the region. Most for strangers, which may seem awkward or come across as insincere until you watch Shanahan in action, which I did last weekend. He'll tell us his secrets. Plus, we'll give Lakeshore listeners an exclusive sneak peek of my new book, Crooked Politics, Northwest Indiana. All that and more after these headlines. Stay tuned.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, and you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in, do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I know you don't. Too bad.
It's half a day.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
Don't forget, folks, if you miss any part of today's show, it's re-air. 7 o'clock tonight. You didn't miss a thing. Or you can find it online, lakeshorepublicmedia.org. You can find all of our shows there,
mm-hmm,
in fact.
Mm-hmm. Including ones like today's show that feature ordinary region residents experiencing extraordinary things.
Yeah, no doubt.
On today's annual Super Bowl-sized show, we will explore the pop culture power of those multi-million dollar TV commercials with a local advertising and marketing expert, Martin Alexi, former host of the Ad Men show here on the Lakeshore.
That's right. I'm always intrigued by Martin's insightful perspective, dissecting an issue I've written about many times through the years, the ad kind of world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love the commercials. But this year, in light of our current political climate, Martin will reveal a new twist to the 21st annual Gridiron Granddaddy of Gluttony, as I call it.
Wait a minute. It's not the 21st.
51st.
You said 21st.
51st,
you said 21st, people. It was not me. Or as Martin calls it, American Brand Stand. Brands make brands taking stands. New, improved, and political.
Oh, like the primaries through Election Day, as we know, President Trump has cornered the headlines, and Martin feels the same applies to the Super Bowl. Trump is now having a cultural effect on commercial brands, and the game of politics may overshadow the big game on Sunday. Is that possible? We'll hear from Martin in just a minute.
Later in the show, we'll talk with Reverend Tom Shanahan of DeMont, a U.S. Army veteran and an associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Crown Point.
Yep, he's also probably the most upbeat guy I've ever met, especially in a funeral home, which I met him at last weekend. Over the past 15 years, he's officiated eulogies of celebration, as he calls them, at nearly 300 funeral services across Northwest Indiana.
Last month alone, it included three services in 3 days over one exhaustive weekend. Two-thirds of his custom-made eulogies have been for strangers, which may seem awkward or come across as sincere until you watch Shanahan in action, as Jerry did last weekend. We'll chat with Pastor Tom in a few minutes.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Plus, I'll read an excerpt that I promised last week of a new book, Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana, which will be released next month and is already doing pretty well in pre-release sales. We'll give Lakeshore listeners an exclusive sneak peek of the book today and my review of last weekend's 21 Pilots concert in Chicago that I attended.
All that and more in today's super-sized show. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free. Call in at 769-9577. But first.
Yep. But first, we already have a caller. It's Martin Alexi, the owner of Flying Minds LLC, a creative agency located in the region. Martin, welcome back to Casual Fridays.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here, as always. Thanks for taking my call.
You know, we love having you on the show, especially this time of year. It's typically like the coldest, longest, most boring time, long after we scream Happy New Year.
We're all fat. We're pale. We have no money.
Before Valentine's Day, though, to all of our football widows. So, during this kind of sad netherworld, we like to talk about the Super Bowl and what it always means every year. And the commercials, of course, come up with you and the importance of it and relevance and just fun. But this year, bum, bum, bum. I'm already hearing these dark ripples about commercials that are going to be played and they're going to have some kind of maybe political overtones to it, something that maybe has not happened before. Can you elaborate on this a little bit for us?
Yes. As I've said in shows past, Casual Fridays past, the Super Bowl has been expanding. The market's opportunities have opened where you did not need to be a super brand and pay $5 million for 30 seconds. You could simply think outside the box and hit the audience that you want, the demographic you want, and in even better sense. A good example of that this year is if you stream the game live, the advertising does not match what will be on air. So if you're like our engineer Tom Maloney, who is wise enough to not pay for cable and not he gets his feed of what he wants when he wants. So what advertisers are doing are going after people like Tom because they're saying, okay, well, we don't have to go after a mass audience, and it's 300,000 to 700,000 for 30 seconds versus your 5 million. So that's one change.
That's a huge difference.
That is, yeah, that's very big. And like I said, with FCC rules, they're a little bit different. You can say a little bit more. You could be a little bit more direct. But my point for this year was as I was going over the kind of typical preparation for the show,
yeah,
you get all the ads that get leaked, with air quotes leaked. And
yeah, air quotes leaked, exactly. They want it to be leaked.
I reviewed him. And I have to say, this might be a year, again, where people kind of go, meh. I have to say, from some of the creative, some of it is outstanding, but some of it, like I have said before, it's like a Saturday Night Live show. Some skits will be outstanding.
Yes.
Some will miss the mark.
Some will just
However,
flat.
It doesn't matter if Trump is hosting the show.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And I have to say, this has somewhat of a 1968 Democratic Convention feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that parallel before.
There will be a staged event with lots of power, lots of money, trying to make decisions, trying to be influential. But America's attention may be in the streets. And by the streets, I mean digital social media.
Yeah. Oh, is that the new streets? Look how hip you are, Martin. That's the new
you,
streets.
1968. Yeah.
The new streets are the are
I did
social
see,
media.
I did see one commercial,
What'd
and it was
say?
For Tide. And I think, I don't know if you saw it too, but it was Jeffrey Tambor and Gronkowski.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Rob Gronk.
And that's
yeah.
like you said, Martin. It was meh.
I thought it was funny, though.
I didn't think it was funny.
You didn't think it was funny at all?
No, he ripped his shirt. I didn't think that was funny at all.
I mean, Gronk was good in it?
No, I didn't think he was good at all.
For jocks? Oh, okay. I think
yeah,
he was good.
Have you seen Gronk with the shirt off?
Right there.
I don't care. I don't care.
I don't like
the guy, like, at all. And yeah. So I just thought, he's ripping his shirt.
Yeah.
And it's...
So I wonder if that falls flat with other consumers
sorry,
out there, Martin. That's
this
the question.
Is me.
No, it's a good barometer. I like hearing that because we don't know that. Us guys like us, we go, that's funny. We're like cavemen, you know.
He's
we don't
ripping
know.
His shirt.
Yeah. But will it appeal to women who are gonna buy the Tide product, Martin?
Well, that's the thing, is all the demographics are also changing. So Tide is going to appeal to there's no longer that gender kind of
You're right. I buy Tide. I get it. Yeah. Right.
That is a racing plus the NFL has actually really increased its female audience in the past few
That's
years.
That's true. So. They did it well, too.
Right. So, but it feels to me like, for instance, let's take the number one ad is going to be Budweiser.
And that's the
oh,
only
yeah.
commercial that I saw, and I did it okay. purposely. I saw it online just
oh,
to
I
get
didn't
a,
see it.
Just to get a sneak peek of it. And I was also read that it's been in the works for quite a while, but it just happened to have this touchy topic, correct?
Right. It's been in, I believe they started 8 months ago, and they shot it within the last maybe 2 months.
Wow.
And for your listeners who aren't familiar, it's Adolphus Busch, his story of the man who met Anheuser and formed Anheuser-Busch and made Budweiser. And he's a German immigrant.
Oh.
And it shows in a fantastic branded short film way.
Yeah, it really is.
Really?
What he went through.
Oh, wow.
And there is a scene where he's coming to America, gets off the boat literally, and kind of gets checked in a crowd, and people telling him, go home, we don't want you, you're not welcome.
Yeah, and he gets shouldered, he gets the cold shoulder literally by some guy walking past him. It's done really well.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
And that guy's ancestors are probably drinking Budweiser now.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's ironic is InBev owns Anheuser-Busch now, so you have Western Europeans who own Anheuser-Busch making a commercial about the American story of Adolphus Busch, but... The point is now that there is this, people will not say, like Karen was educated enough to say, well, I understand they've been working on this for a while. You do a little research and you do a little backstory, and you can realize that they didn't intend for this to be controversial.
Coming a week after the new executive order by President
exactly.
Trump. Yeah, that's just...
That's just coincidence?
Yes, that's just coincidence.
And in this sense, I would believe it is. Now, I wouldn't put it past a creative team to say, you know what, this election season is getting a little crazy.
Yeah, this could happen.
And this, you know, let's do a little something about immigration. Same way Hamilton, in the musical Hamilton, they
right.
bring it up.
Yeah.
It's once and done, you know, but it's not done as necessarily... political statement, more as a reminder of what it is to be an American.
Mm-hmm. And it's really done very tastefully.
Right.
And they must have spent a lot of money on this, Martin. You have any idea how much money Budweiser spent on this?
If my memory serves, it was $15 million to make this.
Wow.
It might be $15 million altogether.
It looks like a short movie. Is it a one-minute
right.
long clip? Right. I have no idea how long it is.
I call them branded short films because I think that's the...
It is. It's a branded short film. It's
reminded me a lot of Jeep.
Right.
That had a commercial last year, I think, 2 years ago. Chevrolet commercials that tend to be very patriotic and American kind of feeling.
True.
There was one that I remember Morgan Freeman had done a voiceover for. Mm-hmm. There was another one as well. I can't remember the name, but it was a really famous speech that somebody had given.
Was it about a farmer?
Yeah, about farming. And it may have been a Chevy commercial or a Ford commercial, that they are those... like Martin said, those branded sort of mini movies. Super Bowl ads, I think, have always theoretically been political, except for, you know, licking Doritos bags and
yeah.
that stuff, right?
But this really steps on a very hot topic, and they probably didn't mean to, Martin is saying, and I agree with that I think it's either coincidental or
so do you think they'll air it, since it's so...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
the
beautifully
NFL
done,
almost
too.
Insist on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
but I think, Martin, what you're alluding to is that if people don't do any research or don't know anything about it, they're going to go, that's it, they created this... they made this commercial last week, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They put it all together.
Right.
And who knows? It might get so crazy someone will think, Trump signed an executive order for Budweiser to make this. I don't know. It will get so twisted. But that's my point, is that your brand can no longer stay apolitical. You have to prep for people coming after your brand, whether it's true or not. And in this era of what they call fake news and alternative facts, your brand has to be ready. And I'd say get in a room and prep. Get your values straight and be ready to respond, because, if I may elaborate, take for example Starbucks. And that right now, Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, said that they'll hire 10,000 Syrian refugees globally, which is a drop in the bucket for Starbucks stores. But you have a backlash now of people saying, well, what about our veterans?
Right.
Why aren't you hiring them? And then they're boycotting Starbucks. But if you look and do your research, you'll realize Starbucks does a ton for U.S. veterans.
Mm.
And they actually are very, very interactive with the community. Now,
that veteran campaign, Martin, actually began in, I think, 2012 or 2013.
Right.
So it's been going on for several years now.
Yeah,
it's nothing new.
Yeah.
But now Starbucks has to come out and say, well, here's all these articles, here's all this information. By the way, here's all these veterans we've hired
they
over
have to
the
defend
last
themselves.
Several
years.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. It's the new world. It's a new world.
It's,
you have to defend,
right.
you have to defend your every move.
There are people who may love Starbucks because they love Starbucks, a quality cup of coffee, and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
you know, maybe people are. There is a certain segment of Facebook. I'm sure everybody has Facebook friends now.
What's
that are
Facebook?
Kind of tired of the politics.
Oh, yeah. It's
and I think
old.
That is a demographic to look into as well. Look into those numbers. Who are the consumers who are the silent majority
who just don't
want to hear it?
If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry and Karen and Tom Maloney. And our special guest is Martin Alexi. He's the owner of Flying Minds LLC, a creative agency. We're talking about the Super Bowl commercials and the politics behind some of them. I mean, used to be the biggest, not political, but it could be political. It'd be like Lady Gaga. We'd be wondering, what's she going to say in her halftime show?
Yeah,
but this year. It's
just
not that big of a deal.
We got
bigger issues to talk about.
No kidding.
You know,
she's doing a Tiffany's ad. First ad for Tiffany's in the Super Bowl in 20 years.
Really?
Right. About empowerment.
About empowerment. Interesting. So
Audi is as well.
Of the commercials that might be politically slanted, Martin, do you think they're going to work for the brand? I mean, I know some could fall flat and some might not, but otherwise, why would these companies spend millions of dollars to produce them and make them and put them in this private, you know, privileged spot of the Super Bowl if it's not going to make money for their brand.
Well, one theory I have is that maybe they just see the political storm coming, and they cannot, you know, they know it cannot be avoided, so therefore get on the right side of history.
And what is the right side of history, though? That's the debate here.
And exactly.
America's divided of what side of history is the right side.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But say, for instance, I would have to say, in my own opinion, a brand that did it very well was Cheerios. A couple years ago, they had a young girl, maybe, I don't know, say she was 4 years old or something, and she reads on the Cheerios box that it's good for your heart. Well, her father's taking a nap, and she pours Cheerios all over his chest, and, you know, to make sure he's okay. And it was very heartwarming and very authentic. If you really pay attention, you realize that it is an interracial couple that are the parents of this daughter, but it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Cheerios was trying to say.
Not a big deal. It's like they having two gay fathers on a commercial, which we've seen. Mm-hmm. Karen, we kind of catch that sometimes, but it's always an afterthought. It's like, hey, did you happen to see that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. And to some people, that will offend them.
Yes.
To some people, that's all they'll see. And that's the thing is, there will always be at least two sides to every issue. So see if you can be on the right one.
Well, you handpicked,
you know, for the most part, Cheerios was on the right.
Oh, that was, of course, on the right side, no doubt about it. That was like an obvious one, I'm guessing. You picked a couple of ads that will be running during the Super Bowl, and we have a couple of clips to play. So which one would you prefer? We got the one with Mike Singletary and Hyundai?
Yes. Well, that one I picked especially because we're all Bears fans. But what Hyundai is trying to do is, what they're going to do is an actual, not a stunt, but they're going to have for veterans, or for soldiers overseas, and it's an undisclosed location. They're going to host the Super Bowl for them and try to make it as stadium ready as they can, and it'll be, you know, you'll find out how they did it after the Super Bowl, right afterwards. But in the meantime, they're going to have a spot with Mike Singletary.
Do we have that? Let's play it.
When you're talking about the team, it's just the belief and the understanding that whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, everybody's got to do their job. Everyone that knows football knows what I mean. But I'm not talking about football.
So, you know, when Mike Singletary says anything to me, I feel like I'm going to jump and do it.
Right.
I could tackle somebody right now.
It looks like you could still play.
So but, what's the context behind that commercial then? What are they looking for?
They are trying to say that they're trying to build interest so you pay attention to what they're going to do for the soldiers afterwards. It's called Operation Better. And, you know, rather than say, oh, hey, you know, the usual, oh, so-and-so troop whatever is watching, I guess they're really going to try to make it extra special for the soldiers.
And while they're doing that, we're supposed to think of Hyundai. In a way, right?
I happen to think it's a little bit of a disconnect unless, again, you are politically active in that genre where you will say, thank you, Hyundai.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank I always wonder about that. And we've talked about that in years past, of the importance of branding. Some brands don't even have the connection. They are disconnected. And I guess they're fine with that. How about the avocados from Mexico? What's that about?
Avocados from Mexico is just one of my picks for, I would say, a very fun ad. And it's cerebral, and it's about a secret society, and what they're trying to do is prevent all these secrets from getting out, one of the secrets being that avocados are filled with healthy fats.
And we have a clip of that, I believe. We'll play that.
Good afternoon and welcome.
What?
I said good afternoon and welcome. Can we lose the masks? Just take them off. How can we be a secret... How can we be a secret society if we can't keep all of our secrets?
Do they know we faked the moon landing?
No, not yet.
Or that there are only 49 shades of gray?
They're suspicious, but that's not what I'm talking about.
What about Bigfoot?
Bigfoot's not real and everyone knows that.
Did they figure out we deflated the footballs?
No, we found a fall guy for that one.
Bigfoot's definitely real.
Nope.
Okay. We'll just have to agree to disagree.
What about Area 51? Do they know about that?
No.
How about Area 52 to 54?
No, stop saying areas. No areas plus a number.
Literally hundreds of photos of Bigfoot.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw him once. Wait, Bigfoot? I'm getting it wrong. Paul Bunyan?
The point is, someone is leaking this stuff.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at you, Anne.
I've seen his footprint when I was...
Scott! What they do know is that avocados from Mexico have good fats.
So they know they're healthy.
They know everything. Kyle, are you streaming this?
Is that not cool?
No, it's not cool. That's what secret means. It's a secret society.
Oh, wow. Secret. Yep. Yep.
Hey, I got a like.
You got a like?
That was me.
I like you too.
At least they don't know about subliminal advertising.
That's not even a thing, right?
Eat them!
What the?
Avocados from Mexico.
Oh, I want to see that one.
See,
they have the best jingle, too.
Yeah, that's just catchy. It's funny. It made all of us laugh in the studio. It's going to make millions of people laugh on Super Bowl Sunday. And we know what they're kind of putting across. I mean, that seems like a winner.
Right. I would say so.
Now, Martin, real quick, we are sort of in that world right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Mexican imports because of President
Trump. Exactly right.
So
can that be context there?
You know, is this context? Because again, I mean, you're not throwing together a Super Bowl commercial unless you're Oreo in the middle of the Ravens and the Niners, which was a fantastic quick 5-second spot. I think they slid in like right after the Super Bowl.
Real time,
which is real good. You know, they're not throwing that together in a couple of days, but are people going to see that as being political as well? Like, you know, here's an avocado commercial that they've probably been planning for a year.
Build a wall.
And now we're talking about building, and it's not avocados because the facts state that the vast majority of American avocado consumption is fulfilled by avocados grown here in the United States.
Duh.
California and I believe Florida. I think it's Florida. It's at least California. I think it's Florida at least can handle all of the avocado, almost all of the avocado
really?
Production.
But will that get spin?
I will say that since it's in the headlines recently, it doesn't hurt.
Oh,
right now,
I
that
see.
Might be, you know, a light the cigar in the boardroom kind of moment.
And is that good for the brand or bad for the brand?
I'd say in this aspect, it's very good for the brand because people, you know, something's being threatened to be taken away from the American consumer, and the American consumer hates that. You know, they didn't want to play with that toy until you took it away.
Yeah, we got FOMO for everything.
Yeah.
No
doubt
about it, yeah. We have another clip to play?
Yeah, we got a couple more.
Let's play one more.
We've got the Audi and we've got the Sprint ad still.
Well, let's see. Sprint is...
Hello, Martin?
Audi is the political one about equality and equal pay. So I'll let you decide.
Let's go Audi.
Like
Let's go with Audi?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
and
right.
Audi, the commercial is a father watching his daughter race and win in a soapbox derby. Again, beautiful.
What do I tell my daughter? Do I tell her that her grandpa's worth more than her grandma? That her dad is worth more than her mom? Do I tell her that despite her education, her drive, her skills, her intelligence, she will automatically be valued as less than every man she ever meets? Or maybe I'll be able to tell her something different.
I hear that Audi in the background, Martin.
I would say this ad works because it is on the right side of contemporary history. And I would say this is backed up by statistics and data that show that, if I'm not mistaken, that women in America are now the majority of college-educated and professional, and the numbers are just rising. And I think maybe Audi is trying to say, here is the car of empowerment. That would be my guess, and
that's
probably a good move on their part. I'm sure it will turn off some people who don't agree with that or who are apolitical, who don't want to hear either left or right messages. But, again, when you see it, too, it's a beautiful ad.
interesting. I like how you put context.
Yeah.
We need this context. That's why we love having on our show every night,
every
year.
It's called overthinking a commercial.
No, I know. Right. It could be considered that also, because a lot of us just sit and watch the commercials and get more entertained by commercials than the game sometimes, you know, especially if it's going to be a blowout of some kind. But I like to know these behind-the-scenes factors. I would not know, for instance, the Budweiser commercial that's been in the works for 8 months.
Yeah. Most
people are going to think it's been in the works for 8 days.
Sure.
I mean, they threw it together and they're making this issue and they're putting a political stamp on it. And I think, and that's not really the case, although it is.
Right.
But we don't think it is. So, Martin, how can our listeners, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, how can our listeners take advantage of some of this expertise? What should they look for in these brands, these commercials during Super Bowl Sunday?
Look for what appeals to you. What look for that connection. If, as the stats go, according to an Adweek article, that the Super Bowl audience, the majority are looking to laugh. And that might just be because of the election cycle and the way things
give us an escape, give us a distraction of some kind.
But laughter can be just like, how many times have you said, oh, so-and-so told a great joke, but I can't remember it? Then
all the time.
The money is wasted, in my opinion.
I see.
Another stat that's very interesting is that the social media rankings, which social media platform are you planning to follow, is Facebook is number one. But Twitter is number four.
Huh.
Instagram and Snapchat are right behind Facebook and almost tied with each other.
Well, they're rising. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Also, it depends what you're looking for. Are you looking for a great game and a great distraction? Are you looking for drama?
Yeah. Or do you want a debate? Do you want a debate? Well, then you have debates, too, if you're looking for it, right?
There will be on social media, I'm certain. Like I said, look for an overanalyzation. But also, I did jot down a couple things. If the conversation became too serious, we can lighten it up a bit. Because in this year's Super Bowl will be the return of Spuds McKenzie.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Bud Light.
It returns as a ghost.
Oh, cool. Oh.
And Carl Weathers does the voice.
No way.
It's crazy, yes.
See, people are going to love to tap into that fun stuff of the game, I think.
Yeah, they need that.
Well, Kia has a fun ad with Melissa McCarthy trying to save the planet. It's very, very funny. Actually, Top Games, which is a mobile game maker, has a credible ad. And I feel it's wasted because it's done so well. And then it says, play the mobile ad. And I think most of the audience will go, well, I can't text. You know,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But they may think it's a great movie or show coming up, and it's not.
This is the perfect preview, Martin, as usual.
Thanks, Martin.
Every year. We appreciate you calling in. We're talking to Martin Alexi, owner of Flying Minds, LLC, a creative agency.
We can't let him go, though, without giving us his pick. Who's going to win, Martin?
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta.
What?
Yeah.
We shall see,
the underdog must. We need a good story.
We need a good story. That's what we do. Exactly. All right. Thanks very much, Martin. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, folks, when we come back, we're going to change gears a little bit, and we are going to chat with the Reverend Tom Shanahan of DeMott, Associate Pastor at First United Methodist Church of Crown Point, who's over the past 15 years has officiated almost 300 eulogies across Northwest Indiana. I attended one last week. It was amazing. We'll talk to Pastor Tom in just a second. Stay tuned.
They call me sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making more mans. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shop.
This is Petey Willis, and I'm world class. I like running, but I love to get the pass. I practice all day and dance all night. I gotta get ready for the Sunday fight. Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. I dance a little funky, so watch me, girl. There's no one here that doesn't like me. My Super Bowl shuffle will set you free.
Hey, welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him, Tom Maloney. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
In the studio, it feels like 1986, doesn't it?
Oh, good times,
maybe
right?
Maybe 85, 86.
Good times.
Everybody knows these songs, don't you?
Oh,
sure?
Yeah.
Welcome back, folks. If you miss any part of today's show, it started at noon, ends at 1. It's on again at 7 o'clock, and you can check it out online at your convenience at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. Hey, next up, I want to
LakeshorePublicRadio.org.
Oh, sorry.
LakeshorePublicRadio.org.
Yeah. Radio.
Radio.
Radio. Mexican radio. We caught that, right? Hey, last Saturday, I attended a funeral. You know, in my job as a journalist, a columnist, a writer, whatever, I've attended more funerals for people I don't know than people I know. Mm-hmm. That's an odd thing to do.
Yeah.
I crash funerals. I crashed a funeral for a man named Dan Grabsky because I wanted to see how he was eulogized by the Reverend Tom Shanahan of DeMott, who has done almost 300 eulogies, as he called them, celebrations for people. And I wanted to see how he celebrates a life. So I sat in the back row, and man, he made this guy come alive mm-hmm. as a life. And he kind of said, don't mourn this death, celebrate Dan's life. And he's done this for so many people. So I want to have him on our show. So Pastor Tom, Reverend Tom, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here again.
We appreciate you sharing your story with us. And I really appreciate you inviting me to this man's funeral and the eulogy you gave for him. You made him come alive right there, because when you go to a funeral, even when I walked in, I immediately had the social cues to, like, shut up. Be quiet.
Put your head down.
Look kind of sad. I mean, you know, I mean, you just, it's not a place. And you came up and you go, hey, Jerry, how you doing? And I'm going to be celebrating the life of this man and all that. And you did, right before our very eyes, and his family. And they didn't leave with tears that I saw. If it was tears, it was tears of joy, not tears of sadness.
I think that's very important. We do tend to mourn the death, and we should. I mean, that's understandable. But that's usually after the dust has settled. And the time now when the people come together is to celebrate the man's life in that case, and all the things he accomplished, and the life that he led, and the way he affected his family. And that's what's important. And his friends that are there, you know, you want them to leave with a positive thought that this man who, you know, did it all, and he, you know, he went on to God's kingdom, and, you know, he had a great life, but it was just one that ended way too soon.
And I really enjoy, I've been to several funerals where they don't even mention anything about the deceased, very little, except the God factor and Lord and heaven and mm-hmm. Bible and Scripture. And I get all that, and I respect it, but I really want to hear about the person who we're there for.
Yeah.
And if we didn't know them especially, and I know that for roughly 2/3 of your kind of custom-made eulogies, they're for strangers, people you did not meet. So you met with the family beforehand, is that what you do?
Yes, I usually try to meet with the family for anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, sometimes even more than that. And I want to work into being part of their family. As you would see, you know, he was like a brother to me, Dan, that when I talked about him, it wasn't that I was talking about a stranger.
Right.
And when I talked to his wife, Denise, I talked to her directly as she was my sister-in-law or something. And I wanted them to feel comfortable. And that's one of the most important things when you're doing a eulogy is become part of the family. And don't be afraid to say, well, Dad felt this way about it, or Grandpa felt that way about it, because then it makes it personal, mm-hmm. personalized.
And you don't feel you're overstepping your bounds.
I always talk to the family before I ever say a word.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
I always, when I meet with them, as I told you on Friday when I met with those two sisters that I gave you the card to read.
They gave Tom a thank you card and say thank you for, they said thank you, brother, for eulogizing our dad. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing gift you received.
Because that was the greatest gift I've ever received.
Wow.
You know, that means I did what God sent me to do. Comfort mm-hmm. these people. And I mean, I get invitations to come down to Florida, come down to Indianapolis, come, you know, wherever they live. If you're ever in the area, come, we'll take out the dinner or something. But you really want to become part of that family. And sometimes it's very difficult. As you know, I did a funeral for an 8-hour-old baby.
Mm. 8 hours old.
Yeah. Wow. And it just, I mean.
The little tiny casket is there? Is that right? I've covered those before. They're very gripping and sobering. Yeah.
It was very difficult because as I tried to start, tears formed in my eyes. Mm. And they were real tears. It wasn't like I was trying to play for them or something. And it hurts, mm-hmm. you know, when you have to eulogize something like that. But yet you want to celebrate the 8 hours that child was on earth and the 23 weeks that the mother carried the baby.
Yeah, of
so
course.
So you celebrate that.
Right, as much as you can anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you find things to read, you know, different quotes, and especially, you know, the scriptures that, you know, do not hinder the children from coming to me. You know, that's what Jesus said.
Right.
Because to enter God's kingdom, you must be like a child again, which means you have to be sin-free. You know, and that's the greatest thing. And it was so emotional, but yet I really thank them for letting me be the one to celebrate it.
It's quite an honor, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. And you know, it's so strange because when you start doing services, you find out that you're related to people. You know people, you know, especially coming from Miller. You know, there was a couple of them I did for people that grew up in Miller for their parents. And it was like, wow, this is really awesome, you know, because I knew them so good. But when you sat down and talked to them, you found out different things about them.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. That was just awesome. It really was. And you could really come out. And I really believe that you have to be forward to everybody. We are celebrating today.
Yeah, you made a point. As a matter of fact, I counted the words, the many times you said the word celebrate. I think it was 11 or 12 times at that one funeral.
Hope it wasn't overkill.
No, it was not overkill. You weaved it in nicely. So I was so fascinated by this that I'm writing a column on it. It's going to run Monday in the Post Tribune, and you could see it on my Chicago Tribune website probably by tonight and over the weekend, Tom. But the question I had for you as I'm watching you, and you had three funerals in 3 days last month, and you had all these backed up, and you have to meet these people and then eulogize. How do you handle it emotionally? How do you absorb all that?
Well, actually, I had three funerals in 3 days at the beginning of the month, and three funerals in 3 days at the end of the month, and two of them in between.
Wow.
And right now I'm writing a eulogy for a man from our church for Tuesday. But I was actually asked to do, I had done six in a row in 8 days, and I was asked to do a seventh one, and I had to actually say to him, this is the first time I said it, I don't think mentally I can do it, because the baby one was in there.
Oh, I see.
And I just said, mentally, I don't think I can do it.
No.
And I finally found a draining point. You know, I was mentally drained and physically drained, because when you do a eulogy, you put your whole heart and mind into this. I mean, I spend hours putting eulogies together. I don't slap together in 5 minutes, and there's no patent, you know, a canned sermon that you give for it. Mm-hmm. Every one of mine is different.
Yeah, I noticed that. And you write part of it, but then after that, you kind of riff off of it. I say you walk away from your notes, and you just kind of talked about Dan or life in general. And also you said, don't blame me if you leave here in tears or sad and you get struck by lightning. That was one of your, you know, that's a great line to put out there, I think, to people to remind them.
Because that's what Dan would want. Yeah. Dan wants you to leave positive, feeling good. Mm-hmm. Because he's in a better way. He's not sick anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to go through this agony. And, you know, I can't say exactly what it was. It was Agent Orange or not, you know.
Right.
That was my era of growing up, you know. I mean, I went to work, graduated in 67, so that was my era, you know, the Vietnam era. And I've seen so many people. I've buried so many people during that time with the mysterious disease. They just call it cancer. But I get so much into it that it drains me. And, yes, it does. You know, I mean, eventually after period of time, it starts wearing on you.
I was wondering that while I was watching you. If you're tuning in now, we're talking with Reverend Tom Shanahan of DeMott. He's the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Crown Point, talking about eulogy after eulogy after eulogy over the last 15 years or so. And I attended one last weekend, and I'm writing about it. It will be in Monday's Post Tribune. A listener just sent me a message and asked when it was going to be in the paper, so it should be in Monday's print version of the Post Tribune. Tom, another question for you. We have a couple minutes left at least. You said the greatest eulogy you ever gave a man was for someone you never knew, and it was a Vietnam veteran. You weren't even expecting to give that eulogy, correct?
Absolutely.
Why was this one so memorable for you?
I got a call from the Veterans Affairs there on 93rd and Broadway, and they just asked, could you come over and do a prayer of you know, the family's here, we have the ashes, and some friends are here. We just need someone to say a prayer. So I said, well, you know, I'm at my office at the church. It's just a five-minute drive over there. So I went over there, and as I walked by the room, I saw all this stuff from Vietnam. And I thought to myself, this man deserves so much more than just a prayer. He does. So I walked down the hall to the director's office, and I introduced myself, and I said, I'm here to do the service for this man. I said, I can't do it. And he says, what do you mean? I said, I can't go in and just say a prayer and walk away. I said, this man served our country, probably gave his life to whatever he had, but he served it proudly, and I said, I need to eulogize him. He says, well, we don't pay here. I said, I don't want any money. My rewards will come later. I said, I just want to be able to eulogize him. And I went in there, and I talked about our era. And when I got done, you know, with closing prayer, the daughter came up to me, and she put her arms around me and says, how long did you know my dad?
Oh.
Wow.
I says, I never met him, but he was one of us, and that's the most important thing. And she was just in total tears over it, and total awe to say, this guy never met my dad, but he talked like he knew him forever. And that was the key to move on with celebrating people's lives and not mourning their death.
I see.
And that stuck with me for a long time. I mean, it's something that I'm very proud of, to be able to do a military person's eulogy. I'm very proud of that because I think our people in the military should be eulogized to the best of anyone's ability.
I know you have a soft spot for military veterans also, and doing eulogies for them. So, Tom, I find this interesting that you can do this, and I've watched pastors and reverends and clergy people give eulogies. I never paid attention to how many they may do in any given week or month until you happened to mention it, and then I watched you do it in action. So can you keep doing this in the future at a certain pace or so? You still enjoy them, don't you?
I do, because I get to help the family.
This is
what God sent me to do, and I do it. I'm a very strong believer in helping the family.
You found your calling, didn't you?
Yeah, I really did. Matter of fact, I counsel some of the children that have lost. I have two young boys down in Lake Village who lost their mother. She was 41 to cancer.
Mm.
And I visit them. I try to visit them twice a month. And we talk a little bit, and then we go downstairs, play a little football, and then we talk again. We spend maybe an hour, hour and a half together. And I do that because the kids need it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important.
Yeah, sometimes listening is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And one thing that I do want to say is when I finish, if it's in a funeral home or if it's at a cemetery, I tell them, my job's not over. If you have trouble dealing with this, you have my number, please call me. We'll sit down, have coffee or meet somewhere, whatever you want to do. But my job does not end when I say amen.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I love that.
And I believe that. I believe that.
Tom, we sure appreciate you sharing your story
you.
With us on Casual Fridays and for our Lakeshore listeners.
I always thank you, Jerry. You always do a great job, and I look forward to the article.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Take care.
You guys take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. All right,
you too.
Love you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love you both, man.
Oh,
you'll catch
gosh.
You often. Listen to Casual Fridays, folks. Take a little short break here. When I come back, I may read a promised excerpt from my new book, Crooked Politics. I also want to talk about the 21 Pilots concert I attended, and I got some stuff in the news that's just hilarious. Stay tuned, folks.
Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Tom. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage when it matters most.
Yep, and if you missed any part of today's show,
don't worry.
It's on again. What time?
7 o'clock.
I was quizzing her, folks. She passed. Yeah, 7 o'clock. And Lakeshore Public Radio.
Radio.
Or you can find all
radio.
Of our, radio. Exactly. Find all of our shows there, too. Welcome back to Casual Fridays, folks. There's a couple things in the news I want to make mention of before I forget. Sometimes our show goes by so quick, I just don't get everything in. I always have stuff I don't get to. And one was a little newspaper clipping us on in the newspaper, and it says, police said man ate pot during a traffic stop. And that just, who doesn't read that? Of all
man
the,
ate pot during a traffic
I mean,
stop.
I read 3 to 4 newspapers, like hard copies a day, and a lot of the stuff is just kind of boring.
Like,
and, yeah,
what
but that stopped me in a dime. So Porter County Police said they took a 26-year-old, I won't say his name, oh, he's a Morgan Township man, into custody Saturday night after reportedly watching him eat marijuana in his vehicle during the traffic stop. I thought, of course, of Cheech and Chong. And they get pulled over, and Chong starts
eating his pot.
So they stop this guy's car, and he's chomping down the pot. I didn't know people like still.
I didn't
did
think you
that.
Could eat.
Well,
pot.
If you're thinking you get caught with
yeah,
with possession,
true, yeah.
reminds me of a scene from Super Troopers at the beginning of the movie. The guys from Broken Lizard, they've done Super Troopers. They're the ones that wrote the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That starred Johnny Knoxville and Sean William Scott
Look
from
you.
American
you're like
Pie.
A, you're like encyclopedia.
But yeah, Super Troopers came out, I think, in the early 2000s. There's an opening scene where they get pulled over by the police, and to hide all of the drugs, they make the guy in the back seat eat it all.
Yeah. See, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
From Cheech and Chong to the early 2000s to right now, this
everyone
guy,
eats pot.
This Morgan Township guy was trying to do it. Also, I thought that was hilarious.
Well, if it's medicinal.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the reason for that. But it's still a fun headline. Also, I want to make a mention of next week's show. We're going to talk to some pinball wizards in this area. There's a pinball.
There's got to be a twist.
You guys are both very good. You're very fast. Actual, literal, genuine pinball wizards. There's a pinball championship taking place next weekend, I think on Saturday, in Indianapolis. People coming from many states, and including from our region, Northwest Indiana. And we'll have a couple people on the show.
Do you play pinball?
No, that's my whole point. I went to a JJ's Pizza, I think, in Portage. They have pinball machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the person when I get my pizza, I go, who plays pinball? I mean, do people play pinball?
I remember my brother used to.
I love pinball still. Yeah.
But wait. I know we all kind of love it, but do you play it? I mean, have you played it in the last year?
Yes.
Wow. That's more than... I haven't played it in the last decade.
Yeah, if I go to a pinball place, I'm taking all of my singles, I'm popping them into quarters, and...
The bumpers and stuff.
The bumpers.
Boop, 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 boop.
I'm going from Soho down to Triton. I'm playing them all.
Oh, you guys are really good. I just couldn't believe that people are still playing. That's why I asked at JJ's. I thought these machines had dust on them, nobody plays. She goes, mm-hmm. Oh, no, there's some people coming all the time and play. I've never seen someone play pinball like... when I go to any kind of an eatery or a bar or anything. So I thought it was just gone. Then these pinball championship is coming up, and I talked to some people around the region. They love these things. They go to Tyler's, what's it called? Tyler's Chicken Place? On
yeah.
Tyler's Tender.
Tyler's Tender. It's on Route 30.
Yeah.
That's where they meet. That's where the local pinball wizards meet.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of pinball machines in there.
Really?
In there. Yeah, that's kind of...
So I'll be there next week to talk with a couple of people and play some pinball for the first time. I'll be playing in... probably literally 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when's the last time I played pinball?
That's my point.
My brother used to.
I mean, back when they went shaky.
Everybody used to. But I didn't always. In these days of video games and electronics and high tech and devices in your hand, who plays? But people still play.
Well, that's good.
So that'll be next week's show.
Keep kicking it old school.
Talk about that. That's also coming up on next week's show. And another article in the newspaper that really grabbed my attention is rappers can hold dangerous chemicals and toxic chemicals. These are wrappers for our food, all of our fast food. Did you see that?
Oh, not
rappers.
Kanye.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Little Wayne.
Those wrappers may hold dangerous, toxic
entities
also. But no, I'm talking about the wrappers with a W. And
only if they're medicinal.
Yeah,
right. Substances are linked to negative health effects are found. I mean, how many decades have we been eating food from these wrappers, fast food wrappers, I'm saying, with a W again. Sorry, guys. No hip-hop involved here. Just bad eating habits. And I had no idea that not only can the food is killing you, but maybe the wrappers are killing you. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did.
For more than three decades, fast food chains have relied on chemical industry to keep grease and oil from soaking through burger wrappers and french fry cartons and pizza boxes. So the chemicals that they put on these cartons and containers maybe kind of dangerous. They're saying now, 30 years later, we are doomed.
We really are.
Every time I think that you're doing something kind of a lifestyle healthy act,
there's a bad coating on it.
There's a bad coating on it. Well said, Karen Walker.
Thank you.
But it's the truth. We're just, there's, you can never do enough. I don't know how and I don't know how our longevity is older than longer than it ever has been.
Medicine. Yeah.
I know, it's always
medicine. Pharmaceuticals.
That's
the
counter trend.
Yeah,
what?
Eating pot.
Eating pot, yeah. Eating pot.
Medicinal.
Well, medicinal.
It's healthier than eating fast food, I guess. I just could not believe
that. Don't eat the wrappers.
Yeah, speaking of, don't eat the wrappers. That's our motto on Casual Fridays. Don't eat the wrappers.
Don't eat pot.
Speaking of wrappers, I saw a couple of, I guess you can call them wrappers last Saturday. It's 21 Pilots. It's Tyler Joseph and Josh Dunn, who I got introduced to, I'm guessing, maybe a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. 2 years tops, 1 year for sure. And I didn't know much about them except they look like a couple of young punks.
Yeah.
Rapping and singing and blending a lot of different genres of music together. And a couple of their songs were really infectious. Heathens, and they have a Blurry Face album up. And I noticed after I heard the song, I'm singing it. And it's in my head. It's like one of those earworms, they call it. And I'm singing. So I go, that's pretty interesting stuff. And then I tapped and I asked your daughter, Sarah, who's now 15.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows all about them. She knows their names, the lyrics, and everybody knows. And I think, maybe it's just a teen thing. And it's really not a teen thing, because when I attended the concert, yes, there's a lot of teenagers there, but there's a lot of 20-somethings, 30-somethings. I was one of the few 50-somethings, I will admit. But I really enjoyed it more than I thought. I thought it was just going to be a flash in the pan, kind of this grubby old pan that we have a rock, and just a flash in the pan, and they're going to come and go. But they are both very talented musicians. They were performers. They had style, some substance. They also talked from their heart. Well, they talked. Tyler Joseph is the lead singer, and I think he writes most of the songs. He talked the whole time. I don't think Josh Dunn, the drummer, said one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he said one word, but he didn't have to. He played the drums violently. Reminded me of Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters. And I loved the way he attacked the drums. I was just captivated by watching this guy play drums. But even in between sets, they said, we're appreciative to be in Chicago again. We don't take all you guys for granted. We came from humble beginnings, I think Columbus, Ohio, back in 2009, which is so they paid their dues.
You know, it's amazing to me, though. I mean, these are young musicians, I take it, right?
Yeah,
they're in their 20s, right?
I'm guessing.
How is it that these two young men get to play sold-out shows at the United Center,
and
you
get
others that pay their dues, and they're still in their 40s and 50s, and they're talented.
How do you attribute it? Luck? Lightning in a bottle?
How did these two young men get to this place? You know what I'm saying? And so it's pay their dues.
Yeah. Right. Okay, right.
That's what I'd like to know. How is it these young artists, and I can see like the young artists, like Ariana Grande or something, they're young and they're beautiful and they're cute and let's put them out there and they have...
These guys
really
are young and beautiful and cute. Took his shirt off half the time, Josh Dunn.
Female fans loved it. I don't want to compare them to Ariana Grande or anything like that. But
it's pop princesses.
Because I just think that's manufactured in the music industry. But these two are true musicians, and that's great. And I'm glad they have their spotlight. And it seems like they get their due here. But how is it that what did they do? Who did they talk to? Who did they perform in front of?
They apparently I've got it here. Did they sleep
with somebody?
I can't guarantee that, but I'm looking at the history of the band, and they played a sold-out show at Columbus's Newport Music Hall, which is a venue over in Ohio, in their hometown, which attracted the attention of about a dozen record labels.
Oh.
And the record label fueled by ramen, like ramen noodles, actually won the bidding war. And these bands might sound familiar. Panic at the Disco, Paramore, Young the Giant are all on FBR's record label. And so 21 Pilots is right in that same vein. So obviously the record label, I think, probably they know what they're doing with this genre of music.
So it was like the right time, the right place, in front of the right people.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Sounds like that's really how it goes.
Lightning in a bottle.
It is for these two. It's just like some magical cosmic lottery, and these two artists.
And it didn't
got
surprise
it.
Me that it was like at least 10,000 people. It was almost sold out show. I'm guessing at the United Center, by the way, in Chicago, which is a big cavernous place.
Sure,
but it was jumping. It was hopping. Every seat. I even looked at the top, and we were at the nosebleed section, and people behind us were there. So it was really sold out, and everybody there, except for me, I think, was singing word for word, lyric for lyric. They were true fans. I mean, I barely kept up with some of the songs, to be honest. I was taking notes for a column. I was writing some stuff down on my phone, you know.
The light show was incredible.
The light
just
show
seeing
alone.
The video, it's just
I got three seizures
dizzy.
Just alone from that, I think, during the concert. So so they had everything going. It was packaged well, and that's what surprised me. I didn't expect to be so impressed. That's my review, so to speak. I expected to go, it's good for the teens, you know, another generation. The kids are all right. We all had this.
Yeah.
I had a different generation than you, different generation than Tom, who's here, and different generation than Sarah, who attended her first concert.
Her first major real concert.
And that was a one
Thanks
to see.
To you, yeah.
But that's how this looks. When you come to these shows, you expect a certain thing, and you get older, and you kind of get this preconceived notion, back in our day.
That's how I was. Like, you two going to have fun. I'm staying home.
It is a generational thing. But then when I got there and I saw all these fans and they're singing in one voice and one word and one lyric.
And Sarah had an amazing time. If she were in the studio right now and you asked her about the night, her face would light up and she would just smile and say it was so great.
So what I learned from the concert is I saw one lone flickering flame from a lighter stood out amid all the bright lights from the smartphones inside this venue. I saw one little flickering of a light. I go, wow, there's some older person, whoever that is, lighting an actual lighter for the encore at the end of the thing. And I realized that flickering flame of a lighter was me. I didn't have a lighter, but I was like the lighter in that whole venue of all these smartphones around me. So my point, if you're listening, you're a Lakeshore listener, don't always dismiss, you know, the new kids coming around, the kids are all right. They're still doing fine. You know what I mean? They found their own. It's like Paul Simon said, every generation throws a hero up the pop charts.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing up 21 Pilots up the pop charts, and it's okay. Let them have it. You know what I mean?
And deservedly so, it seems. They have
it
a lot of talent.
So that's my takeaway from that concert. It's like, it's okay. And if you're a parent out there, I don't know about this and that kind of stuff, you know, you did it. Your kids are going to do it. Let them have it. And it was fun to watch. And I got to stand back and watch this unfold in front of me, and it was just fun to see a all these youngins having such a great time together. And yeah, it was all clear. It was all pretty and clean,
it
too.
It was all a good night. Except good night. They had to go to White Castle on the south side of Chicago.
I was hungry
really?
After the concert.
Out of all the places.
And then and
you
a fight broke out behind me.
South side of Chicago.
And the N-word was thrown out, and Hunky
and
was thrown
Castle.
Out, and White Castle.
Are you kidding me?
And as soon as I heard a gunshot, I was going to drive away. But besides that, the night was wonderful.
Oh,
we'll talk about that next week. All right, we're at the end of Casual Fridays, folks. Thanks
sorry.
For tuning in. We want to thank our guest, Tom Shanahan. And, of course,
and Martin.
The
thanks,
brilliant Mark
Martin.
And Alexi. Yeah, but watch the commercials this Sunday
hey,
during the Super
look
Bowl.
At that.
All that and more. This is 21 Pilots,
this
by the way.
This is 21 Pilots, everybody.
Have a wonderful weekend. Have a good Super Bowl and...
have a Casual Friday.
Take care, folks. We'll leave you at 21 Pilots.
Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You love another psychopath sitting next to you. You love another murderer sitting next to you. You think I'd get it sitting next to you. But after all, I...